Our next and final presenter is a man who has brought to this stage a sing-along, a follow the bouncing ball, a Zeppelin descending in something close to flames, and now is bringing something else to the stage, which you will soon see, and he will tell all of our future. His name is Brett Martin. He used to be the sports editor at Time Out New York and staff writer at Time Out New York, and now is a freelance person writing about food for Details Magazine. Please join me in welcoming a friend of this stage and a friend of all of ours, Mr. Brett Martin.
Sorry about that. My name is Brett Martin. My subject tonight is what animals can do for us. Because frankly, I think it's about goddamn time they started pulling their weight. Specifically, I'm going to talk about what animals can tell us about that area of the future which concerns us more from day to day than any other, and that is, of course, the weather. Now, it's fair to say that this has pretty much been an obsession of mine since John asked me to look into it last week. And on the surface, it may seem strange that as I'm a Brooklyn native, that I'm the person who's going to be up here talking about these agrarians and seafaring folklores, which are preoccupied with crops and favorable winds and et cetera. But on the other hand, I do know the shock and awe, if you'll excuse me, with which New Yorkers face the fact that something like a blizzard still has the ability to shut down Times Square. So I do understand why, even in this age of Doppler and Super Doppler and Doppler 2000, we have a way of going all caveman when it comes to weather, ready to seize on any sign at all that might explain to us or give us some power over this overwhelming, terrifying force. Now, the behavior of creatures has, of course, always been looked to as a guide of what's to come, probably on the intuitive theory that animals and certain old men with trick knees are in some ways more elementally connected to the larger workings of nature than we are. You can probably think of one or two examples on your own, such as horses grow thicker fur before a harsh winter, squirrels gather nuts before the same harsh winter, cows lie down in the field before it's going to rain, and of course these make some sense. The squirrels are gonna gather some nuts, expecting that it's gonna be more difficult to do so when there's snow. The horses are gonna grow the thicker coats to be warmer. The cows lay down to drown themselves because they can't stand the thought of even one more day in that fucking field. And others are more enigmatic, and I've collected a couple of these. For instance, if anthills are high in July, winter will be snowy. This is a fairly famous one from this area, which is that the wider the band of black on the back of a woolly caterpillar, the milder the coming winter. Seagull, seagull, sit on the sand. It's never good weather when you're on the land. There's a lot of these that rhyme. When the ass begins to bray, we be sure we shall have rain that day. Watch the heifer's tail. When held aloft, will rain or hail. When the kookaburras call, the rain will fall. When spiders weave their webs by noon, be sure there will be fair weather soon. This is a slightly more elaborate one about the katydid's song, which apparently gives the temperature. If it says, KT did it, it's 78 degrees Fahrenheit. If it says, KT didn't, 74 degrees Fahrenheit. KT did is 70 degrees. Kate didn't, 66, and Katie is 62, and below that, Katie did freeze to death, I imagine. Here's another bovine one. If the bull leads the cows into the pasture, expect rain. if the cows precede the bull, the weather will be uncertain. When you look out your window and see your dogs jumping around and ducking, it's a sign that it is hailing. This is, of course, from the great New York storefront psychic tradition of predicting the present. And it's closely related with if your cat comes in soaking wet, it is a sign it is raining. Most of these, by the way, are American in origin, perhaps because we have the world's largest variety of bad weather. But at least one of them is a 19th century secularization of an early Christian festival known as Candlemas Day. I'm sure you all know the old German proverb, if Candlemas be fair and bright, winter has another flight. If Candlemas brings cloud and rain, winter will not come again. Candlemas, by the way, falls on February 2nd. And, of course, what better way of determining the weather on that day than through to rely on the eyesight and courage of a large caged rodent, particularly a groundhog, of course. And yet, for all of this wonderful, colorful lore, most of us still put our faith in the same boring satellite photos and radar readings and fronts and barometric pressures, et cetera. I did, however, uncover a renegade sect of weather watchers, and this is a group of meteorological flat earthers hunkered down in a compound in southern New Hampshire, occasionally printing heretical tracts that espouse a 14th century astrologer's theory of weather predicting. I speak, of course, of the staff of the Old Farmer's Almanac. Now, I really don't have time. I mean, this is, I don't know when the last time you looked at one of these is, but I don't have time to do all the material that a brief glance through this book afforded me. I can just tell you for $5.95, it's a steal. I will tell you briefly that the Farmer's Almanac was founded in 1792 by a man by the name of Robert B. Thomas, who decided that in addition to tide tables and sunrise forecasts and the tables for the many uses of vinegar, he would print a year-long weather forecast. Thomas fervently believed in a method of forecasting that dated back to the 14th century, which involved patterns of solar activity, essentially storms on the sun, and they proceed in 11-year cycles, and some are increasing, so I don't really know what the hell it was about. But as the years have progressed, modern techniques have been added to this, such as computer models and polarized temperatures and satellite imagery. But at its heart, an almanac forecaster and a traditional meteorologist are like a creationist and an evolutionist. They have the same data and completely different interpretations of what that means. And just, I figured, what the hell, we would take a look at its current day. So this is for the greater New York, New Jersey area, which is region 2. Just the last couple of days. March 2003, the 29th through the 31st, rain. April 2003, the 1st through the 6th, chilly. Periods of rain and snow. That's right. It's not so funny now. Uh-huh, fucks your shit up. All right. Well, anyway, so there's that. But that's not what I came here to talk to you about tonight. Came to talk about pig spleens. See, the Old Farmer's Almanac doesn't actually use any of this animal folklore, but they are a sort of alternative weather theory crackpot clearinghouse. And a few years ago, in their Canadian edition, they printed an article about a man named Gus Wickstrom. Gus Wickstrom is a 64-year-old semi-retired farmer in Tompkins, Saskatchewan, who claimed to be able to forecast 6 months' worth of weather using a freshly butchered pig spleen. I had some questions about this, so I rang Gus up. He told me it was a family tradition that was brought over by his grandfather from Sweden at the turn of the century, and in those days, the farm communities of Sweden and apparently Saskatchewan would get together in November to butcher their hogs and read the spleens, and the best spleen reader in town, who happened to be Gus's granddaddy, as he called him, would lay down his verdict on the coming season. Nowadays, most Sasquatches, as the Saskatchewanese are more commonly known, use more conventional weather techniques, but Gus still does it his way, and he told me, oh, sure. Last year, I couldn't have been more than bang on. You've got all these guys with million-dollar equipment. I got a $2 big spleen. And I beat them all. That's the perfect Saskatchewan accent, by the way. All right, so here's how it works. Picture a pig spleen, right? You know how it's got like one end that's a little more narrow, right? And you hold it up by that end, and you divide it into Oh, I'll just show you. I'd like to point out that no pigs were harmed in the production of this presentation. Well, one pig. So this is a fresh from a 4-month gig recycling red blood cells on a farm in Columbia County, New York. This is a pig spleen. It may look ugly, but Gus actually told me that that if I were to fry it up in some butter with some onions, it would make me romantic. Gus is divorced. Anyway, here's the deal. There's a more narrow end. Now, you divide the spleen into 6 parts, one for each of the next 6 months, and then you look for bulges and anomalies. A bulge could mean a storm or some other sort of severe weather event. You can feel it in soft parts. I mean, warm temperatures, firm ones mean cold. These fatty deposits can mean some sort of wind or rain, some other kind of events. Now, the Farmer's Almanac, apparently the Farmer's Almanac gets calls every day from people who are trying to plan their weddings, towns who are trying to set their snow removal budgets. So I thought I would give this a try. So does anybody have any dates in the next 6 months or snow removal budgets that they need to set or anything like that they particularly care about knowing the weather from? Anybody getting married? June 15th. Okay, now I got a couple of disclaimers. First of all, Gus still only does his readings in November, so he couldn't vouch for the results in the spring. Secondly, he uses a much bigger spleen from a much older sow, and he also uses 31 of them, which I thought would kind of be gross. So I'm willing to give it a shot. It may take me a little while. So, Jonathan, would you have any some spleen reading music for me? I appreciate that. Thank you. Okay, so here we go. All right.
I must know if it will rain or hail or snow, and cause me pain whenever I wonder. I just need to check my spleen. Spleen, 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 spleen.
Thank you, Jonathan. Partly cloudy. Chance of showers towards the afternoon, but it should be clearing up as the evening sets on, high of 72. Anybody else? Is there another one? What's that? Fourth of July, of course, that's a good one. Hit
it. It's not easy reading spleens, having to spend each day just looking at spleens. When I think it could be nicer to use radar and computers and other things like that.
It says here, perfect storm that day. So no barbecue planning. One more. Okay, we could do that. Yeah, definitely. All right, go for it.
Spleen reader, I believe you can tell me if it's hot. Spleen reader, tell me if it's raining or it's not.
That'll be overcast, high in the mid-80s, northwest winds at 15 to 20 miles per hour, and plague of frogs, apparently. So I asked Gus, why he thought all of this worked, and he said, "Oh, it's just an old tradition that people have forgotten about." And I said, "Yeah, but you know, I mean, do you think the pigs know what's coming?" And he said, "Oh, you mean compared to a horse or a buffalo or a moose?" And I said, "Well, sure, but tell me, are animals psychic? I mean, do they actually know the future in their guts?" And he said, "Oh, sure. I mean, they know. I mean, it's just an actual thing of what nature really does." And since I know almost nothing of what nature actually really does, I decided that was good enough for me. Thank you very much.
Brett Martin, ladies and gentlemen.